Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Well, coming up today, we'll listen back to Rudy Giuliani's press conference in which he claims that there was widespread voter fraud in the November 3rd election. The Trump administration is still trying to halt the turnover of power, and we're talking about the implications of that. During the next hour, if you want to comment about anything you hear during the program, you can always call us up at 813-239-9663. Cindy Philpott is our phone producer today. We're going to go back and listen to what Rudy Giuliani, the former mayor of New York and now the president's personal attorney, said at the Republican Party headquarters yesterday. This has caused a lot of controversy, in part because Rudy was sweating so much that his hair dye rolled down the cheeks of his face, and that caused a lot of people to notice that he seemed to be quite nervous as he was making these claims. So what are the claims that President Trump actually won the election? We'll hear Rudy Giuliani and one of his associates make those claims, and then we're going to take your phone calls at 813-239-9663. Here's the president's personal attorney yesterday saying the election was rigged.
As we started investigating, both our investigations and the very patriotic and brave American citizens that have come forward are extraordinary. Extraordinary number of people, extraordinary number of witnesses. And what emerged very quickly is there's not a singular voter fraud in one state. This pattern repeats itself in a number of states. Almost exactly the same pattern, which to any experienced investigator, prosecutor, would suggest that there was a plan from a centralized place to execute these various acts of voter fraud, specifically focused on big cities, and specifically focused on, as you would imagine, big cities controlled by Democrats, and particularly focused on big cities that have a long history of corruption. The number of voter fraud cases in Philadelphia could fill a library. These people are under penalty of perjury. Their names are on an affidavit. They swear that they weren't allowed to carry out their function as inspectors. And it's not just a technical thing. There's a reason they did it. Why wouldn't you allow inspections of those ballots? Because you knew you were going to use those ballots to catch Biden up.
Rudy Giuliani yesterday at a press conference that he held that was widely seen by people. At one point, he sweated pretty hard. His hair dye ran down, streamed down his cheeks. But making the claim that there was a centralized plan to steal the election based in big cities, Democratic-controlled cities. What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. Here's more of what Rudy Giuliani claimed yesterday.
Joe Biden is in the lead because of the fraudulent ballots, the illegal ballots that were produced and that were allowed to be used after the election was over. Give us an opportunity to prove it in court, and we will. You couldn't possibly believe that the company counting our vote, with control over our vote, is owned by two Venezuelans who were allies of Chavez, are present allies of Maduro, with a company whose chairman is a close associate and business partner of George Soros, the biggest donor to the Democrat Party, the biggest donor to Antifa, and the biggest donor to Black Lives Matter. I know crimes. I can smell them.
Rudy Giuliani yesterday, much of what he said there was proven wrong as the fact checkers look into it. Just for instance, Antifa is not an organized group, so how do you make donations to Antifa? But we're going to continue and hear more of what happened at that press conference yesterday. I'm asking you what you think of Rudy Giuliani's claims. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Our email address, dj@wmnf.org. There's another member of President Trump's legal team, his legal dream team. Her name is Sidney Powell. And here's some of what she said at this very controversial press conference yesterday.
To know right now that we will not be intimidated. American patriots are fed up with the corruption from the local level to the highest level of our government, and we are going to take this country back. We are not going to be intimidated. We are not going to back down. We are going to clean this mess up now. President Trump won by a landslide. We are going to prove it, and we are going to reclaim the United States of America for the people who vote for freedom. Let's come in the back door at that time. Notably, the Dominion executives are nowhere to be found now. They are moving their offices overnight to different places. Their office in Toronto was shared with one of the Soros entities, one of the leaders of the Dominion project in overall is Lord Malik Brown, Mr. Soros' number two person in the UK and part of his organization. There are ties of the Dominion leadership to the Clinton Foundation and to other known politicians in this country. Just to give you a brief description of how this worked, I'm going to quote from a letter that was written, and I will read that to make sure I get the quotes right. This person was objecting to the United States acquisition of Sequoia voting systems by Smartmatic, a foreign-owned company. I believe this transaction raises exactly the sort of foreign ownership issues that CFIUS is best positioned to examine for national security purposes. It's undisputed that Smartmatic is foreign owned and it has acquired Sequoia. They keep changing the names as they go along. Different times when a problem comes up, they just create another corporation and call it a different name. But it was a voting machine company doing business in the United States. Sequoia voting machines were used to record over 125 million votes during the 2004 presidential election in the United States. Smartmatic now acknowledges that Antonio Mujica, a Venezuelan businessman, has controlling interest in Smartmatic, but the company has not revealed who all the Smartmatic owners are. According to the press, Smartmatic's owners are hidden through a web of offshore private entities, and that is, in fact, true. Smartmatic has been associated with the Venezuelan government led by Hugo Chavez, which is openly hostile to the United States, and of course, as we all know, communistic and really brutalizing its own people. The system has been continued there by Mr. Maduro and ensured his election. Smartmatic's possible connection to the Venezuelan government.
Well, that's a part of what President Trump's dream team said yesterday at a press conference. That attorney's name is Sidney Powell, making all sorts of accusations. Of course, there is a place to get to the bottom of these accusations, and that is in a courtroom. And so far, the president's dream team has not been successful in courtrooms where they have to speak the truth and they can't make all sorts of wild accusations. There's been a lot of fact-checking about the claims by Rudy Giuliani over the past few days. You can check out PolitiFact. You can check out the Washington Post website. We're going to just hear a little bit of sound from CNN, who's done some fact-checking on the wild claims made by President Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, over the past few days. And we're going to get some sound here, if I can pull it up, from CNN. And we're going to listen to their fact check. You can see this on the CNN website at CNN.com and get their fact check about whether or not the any of these claims hold up. We're going to hear some we're going to hear some of the fact-checking that CNN has done. And then in a second, we'll take your phone calls at 813-239-9663. You can also write in to dj@wmnf.org. And here's what the CNN fact-check said about some of Giuliani's claims.
It would be laughable if this wasn't so dangerous.
You start doing ballots like this.
Rudy Giuliani on Fox Sunday spinning his latest false conspiracy theory about an American voting machine company, a bizarre take involving George Soros, votes being counted in Spain, and dead strongman Hugo Chavez.
A company that has close ties with Venezuela and therefore China?
False. Truth, facts, they don't seem to matter to Giuliani, who's tweeting, posting on YouTube, showing up on far right-wing shows, spouting wildly false allegations, even from the parking lot of a landscaping company next to an adult bookstore.
Wow, what a beautiful day.
His argument in Philadelphia that vote counters were purposely hiding ballots from Trump's poll watchers.
Because many, many of them were fraudulent.
Not true. This is the man President Trump has just put in charge of his legal challenges to Joe Biden's presidential win. A stack of lawsuits has already been thrown out or dropped, including 9 in one day.
All of the cases are falling apart. The way he's going about continuing to file cases with no basis in court just makes Donald Trump a loser more times.
In a Pennsylvania lawsuit, a judge asked Trump's attorney, "Are you claiming that there is any fraud in connection with these disputed ballots?" The Trump attorney admitted, "No." Yet along with other Trump cronies, Giuliani keeps feeding the world his debunked conspiracy theories.
In each state, there were ineligible ballots that overwhelmed the margin of victory.
No, Mr. Giuliani, there weren't. The United States Department of Homeland Security issued this joint statement from its Elections Infrastructure Committee stating there is no evidence that any voting system deleted or lost votes, changed votes, or was in any way compromised.
Rudy Giuliani is undermining confidence in the American election system and therefore undermining our national security.
It's a far cry from the man who was dubbed mayor of the world in the wake of 9/11. Ever since Giuliani became a vocal supporter of the president's 2016 presidential bid, he's been Trump's chief conspiracist, even traveling to Ukraine to try to dig up dirt on Hunter Biden. Intelligence officials told the White House Giuliani was the target of a Russian influence operation in 2019, according to the Washington Post.
It is very dangerous and it's extremely alarming.
Former federal prosecutor Ken McCallion, who specializes in Russian organized crime and once worked with Giuliani, believes Giuliani may be unwittingly doing the Russians' business in this election.
What they're doing is completely 100% in the interests of Russia, which is to create as much damage and confusion to the U.S.
And it's working. The lies and false reports sending thousands into the streets for a pro-Trump protest this past weekend. And perhaps convincing millions of Americans to doubt the U.S. election system. Staunch Republican and former Trump National Security Advisor John Bolton says it's a damaging strategy that won't end after Trump leaves office.
Real distrust in the system, casting doubt on the integrity of our electoral system, the constitutional process. The Russians and the Chinese couldn't ask for any more. What Trump's doing is potentially dangerous for the country.
Allison, we've talked to former colleagues of Giuliani who question whether there's real cognitive decline leading to a lack of judgment. They just don't understand what has happened to Rudy Giuliani. One even noting that because Donald Trump doesn't even pay his attorney, Rudy is destroying his reputation for free.
All right, so that was on CNN, the reporter. Excuse me, I'm sorry. The reporter was Drew Griffin. You can see that on the CNN website. His experts that he talked to were John Bolton, Ken McCallion, who's a former federal prosecutor, Juliet Kayyem, who's a CNN political analyst, and Ben Ginsburg, the Republican voting expert and a lawyer who championed George W. Bush during the 2000 election here in Florida. Again, our phone number is 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Let's take a call or two, and we're going to go to Robert in Sarasota. Robert, what would you like to say? Hey, Robert, can you hear me? All right, we may have a problem with our phone system. Robert, can you hear me?
Robert, just fine. There you go.
Okay, go ahead. What would you like to say?
Sure.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I listened to both news clips there while I was holding, and I wanted to go right back to what I said before I even heard. I think we're missing the point, and the point is Giuliani was and always will be an American patriot. I don't think he's going to sell his reputation out for free. And I certainly don't think he would even do it for money. That's my opinion. The fact is, somebody somewhere in this country is refusing to acknowledge that we have a problem. We can't see it. The bugs are behind the wall. But the American people, no matter what side you're voting for, knows there's something under the rug here. And it started when Donald J. Trump put his hand on the Bible 4 years ago. What we do is, in this country, if we say something, even if it's absurd, if we say it long enough and we put fancy banners at the bottom of network television programs, people tend to believe it because there's a lot of stupid people in this country. They're sensationalized.
So, Robert, you believe that there's a
social media.
Robert, you believe there's a giant conspiracy out there. When did the conspiracy start, do you think?
So, the conspiracy, let me rephrase it then. There is a deep state within our federal government.
And who's in the deep state? I mean, who would you name as part of the deep state?
I would say that the key players in the last 4 years that have stood up and made statements, and we could go back as far as Maxine Waters. She kind of disappeared off the scene. I think a lot of these quote-unquote key players went underground and started to dig in these major cities, and we're starting to see their work.
Well, Maxine Waters still shows up on television, but it's Maxine Waters. Who else would you add to the deep state that's part of the conspiracy?
Jeez, it's like whack-a-mole. As soon as one goes down, six come up. But
would you say that every let's just start with what Rudy Giuliani said. Rudy Giuliani said that every Democratic mayor is part of the conspiracy. Can we add those?
You asked me a question, so I'm going to tell you, AOC, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, especially Shifty Shift, that guy.
And Robert, where do they have their meetings? I mean, this is a really big conspiracy that involves the deep state and Maxine Waters and every Democrat you named. Where do they have their meetings? How do they communicate with each other so that they're going to steal the election?
Well, it used to be the J. Edgar Hoover building at the FBI headquarters, but they don't do that anymore.
Well, where do they get together? If they used to get together at the FBI headquarters, where do they get together now?
They get together through their emails. They learned 4.5 years ago that you have to have a server that can't be dug up. So it's a very organized effort. And just like Giuliani said, there's players outside of this country.
Robert, if you don't trust any of the Democrats, what about the Republicans that have now come forward that say that Joe Biden won the election? Are they part of the conspiracy?
No, you keep using conspiracy, and it's not a conspiracy when it's out in the open for everyone to see. So,
well, the emails certainly, if they're communicating by email and they're hiding it on a server that we can't penetrate, then it is a conspiracy. I mean, it's not out in the open if it's on a secret server. So I'm just wondering, those Republicans that have said that President-elect Joe Biden legitimately won the election, are they part of the conspiracy?
No, the Democratic Party's been hijacked by this group of people. I think the American people know that.
Which group of people, Robert?
Like I said, Omar, AOC, Schumer, the far-left people that actually want to pay off college debt, they just keep throwing...
Now, why would it be so bad to pay off college debt? Why would it be so bad if we didn't saddle young people with debt that may last their entire working career? What's so wrong with saying, like they do in other countries, if you make good grades, your college is going to be free? What's so wrong with trying to reduce college debt?
Because we were the greatest country in the nation. We don't do things like other countries. We're the trendsetters.
What are we number one in, Robert? Are we number one in longevity? Are we number one in healthcare? Are we number one in education? What are we number one in?
We used to be number one in moral character, patriotism, and tradition.
How do you measure that, though? Robert, I thank you for calling. It's great to hear from you, and you definitely believe there's a deep state that's manipulating this election. Glad you called in. 813-239-9663. Let's get some other people to call in. Let's go to Cindy in Dunedin. Hi, Cindy. You're on MNF. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. You know, you're a pretty amazing person to go through all this. Anyway, the one thing I think, if everyone quit putting Trump on the news and on the radio for a full week, he would go bananas, and maybe that could get rid of him.
He does thrive on publicity. Now, yes. I don't. We really haven't heard his voice yet today on this program, but I hear what you're saying. He got billions of dollars worth of free publicity in 2016.
Yeah, and all the people that are talking for him too.
Okay. All right. Cindy, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
All right. Great to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Now, there are some Democrats that think that Joe Biden has not pushed back hard enough against the people that are promulgating the conspiracy theories. One of those people is Congresswoman Jackie Spears. She's a Democrat from California. And this is what she said yesterday on MSNBC.
Donald Trump has lost the election by 7 million votes and by 72 electoral votes. He cannot somehow suggest that he can become the president-elect under those circumstances. He's lost. He's a loser. And it's time for him to suck it up and recognize that he's going to be kicked out January 20th. And his responsibility now is to protect our country and to give the new president-elect all of the tools and resources he needs in order to prepare for his inauguration and taking the reins of power on January 20th.
That's Congresswoman Jackie Spear from California saying that the Democrats need to be tougher standing up to the conspiracy theories. What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Gary in Dunedin. Hi, Gary. You're on M&F. What's up?
Hey, Rob. I do have comments about the topic that you've mentioned, the claims about the election made by the Trump people. But I do want to ask you, and I think this is relevant, your interrogatory technique that you use with these QAnon Trump people, it's amazingly skilled. I don't know if you are a trained police detective or FBI profiler, but I know about these things myself. And the way you handle these QAnon Trump cult callers is exactly the way we're trained in law enforcement and psychiatry to handle people who are criminal by nature, criminally insane, or otherwise delusional. What you do is so cool is that you don't challenge their version of reality, which is totally false, like that caller that you had two callers ago. You just keep asking them questions to get them to spew more of their delusions so that it becomes obvious that they don't know what they're talking about. And they reveal facts that can, in the case of law enforcement or psychiatry, that can be used for forensic purposes. So you are a genius, dude.
Well, the check is in the mail, Gary. So, but thank you for that. I've been doing this a long time. I've been a journalist for a long time, so I ask questions. That's what we're all trained to do as journalists.
So, well, I mean, as a talk show host, usually, and especially on the right-wing talk show, they will just immediately start haranguing a caller who is saying things that they don't agree with. But you are very clever. But anyway, I know that you're tired of people praising you and worshiping you, so I'll go on to my comment. There's a great website called Raw Story, and they analyze a lot of the Trump cult insanity. And the other day they had an article that one of Trump's top current lawyers, a young woman named Jenna Ellis, who is one of his most, shall we say, vituperative and vehement defenders. In 2016, she was a public never-Trumper and correctly described him as an idiot, a con man, the absolute opposite of a Christian, unethical, corrupt, lying, criminal, dirtbag. This is all on the record. If you look up Jenna Ellis' comments about Trump 2016, she called him bullish, boorish, and arrogant, a bully who can never be trusted, not anywhere close to being a real Christian, disgusting in his treatment of women, etc. Now, she's up there on the stage. She was the one that was behind Giuliani the other day when his face was melting on camera. You know what? I think that they've slipped some peyote or psilocybin or LSD into our water supply, and this whole thing is a hallucination.
All right, Gary, thanks a lot. Thank you for
that. Thank you, brother.
All right. I really appreciate the compliment. You know, there are many people that have changed their minds about President Trump, Lindsey Graham being among the most prominent, Ted Cruz being another person. But if you go back and look at the debates in 2015 and 2016, there were a lot of people that disagreed with President Trump. And I think that's one of the big questions of our era is, why do so many people show fealty to Donald Trump? There are people that are scared of him. There are people that bow and scrape to him. Think of the cabinet meetings where it was like watching the Manchurian candidate. But President Trump is going to attempt to get some people to come over to his side today. He wants legislators around the country to vote to send electors to the Electoral College that will disregard the results of the election in their state. President Trump is going to put pressure on two people from Michigan today, from the Michigan legislature. And let's listen to a report from the Associated Press about that.
President Trump has summoned Michigan's GOP leaders to the White House as he pushes the state to overturn certification of Joe Biden's win there. Two people familiar with the matter say the president has invited Michigan Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirky and House Speaker Lee Chatfield to visit the White House, and a state leader says the men agreed to go. It's unclear what the meeting will be about, but the state legislature would be called to pick electors if the president's able to keep Michigan from certifying Biden's win. Both men, though, have indicated they will not try to overturn the victory. Sagar Magani, Washington.
And we'll see when they come out of that meeting with President Trump today whether or not they've changed their minds. Now, the governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer, is standing up to those calls. Our own governor, Ron DeSantis, here has said to the Michigan legislature, change your vote, change the Electoral College outcome in your state. Our governor has encouraged Michigan to do that and Pennsylvania to do that. Here's what the governor of Michigan said yesterday about the calls by some Republicans to change the Electoral College vote in their state.
I do not know the nature of the conversations that they intend to have with the White House. What I've read is that they are both traveling there tomorrow. I hope they wear masks and I hope they stay safe. All the meetings in the world, though, can't take away from the fact that Joe Biden won Michigan by over 150,000 votes.
Gretchen Whitmer yesterday standing firm, but we'll see what her legislature does. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. And if you want to join the conversation, you can join it that way. Let's go to John, who's in Northport. Hey, John, you're on MNF. Thank you for calling.
Yes. Good afternoon. How you doing?
Yeah, good morning to you.
Thank you. I have a few questions. If Donald Trump got the most minority votes of any Republican in 60 years, and Joe Biden supposedly received 10 million more votes than Barack Obama, tell me how that's possible. And also, why did they stop the counting at 1 a.m.? Why did they stop the counting for a few hours? Honestly, answer those two questions, please.
Where did they stop the counting? What
are you talking about? They stopped the counting in Michigan. They stopped the counting in Georgia. I mean, do you follow the news, or are you just following the liberal propaganda that's going out there? They stopped the counting. That's a fact. And
John, you have to deal with
Linwood and Sidney Powell.
Well, let me say about stopping the counting. In some places, the counting was stopped just because people were tired and had been there for a long day. In Georgia, they stopped it. They had some problems in the counting areas, so they did stop it. I don't think there's any question, though, that the votes were safe. There were lots of guards around, and nobody dealt with nobody tried to steal the votes. But what was your first question, John?
Well, the first question is how did
so many minority people vote in bigger numbers for Joe Biden than they did for Hillary Clinton? I'll tell you what, that's something that we've talked about on my TV show. I mean, there's several explanations. We've looked at Miami-Dade County, and one of the techniques used by Republicans this time around in Miami-Dade, where Hillary Clinton won by a huge margin over Donald Trump 4 years ago. In Miami-Dade, there's a YouTuber that's channeling QAnon conspiracies. He's become one of the most popular YouTubers in Miami-Dade. He's had an influence. There have been inserts in the local Spanish newspaper, and there's been a charge that Joe Biden represents socialism. Now, if you were listening to the past show here on WMNF, you know there's all sorts of people on the left that think that Joe Biden is not progressive enough. So how did Joe Biden win more minority votes? He reached out to them, and he tried to get them, and he used the QAnon conspiracy theory, and he called his operatives Joe Biden a socialist, and that made a difference in some Spanish-speaking communities. It happened also in South Texas, too. But what's up for grabs, there's a lot of people up for grabs in an election. It's interesting to point out that if you look back at the 2012 election and then you look at 2016, 7 million people that voted for Barack Obama in 2012 turned around and voted for Donald Trump in 2016. It was just, there were people on the fence. They could be white suburban women. They could be middle-class African-Americans. I mean, it's all sorts of people are up for grabs. And Donald Trump was able to do that and do that swing. But it doesn't, just because you increase your share of the minority vote total, and it's only a small share, it might have gone up a few percentage points in most places, it doesn't mean that there's enough people of color to swing that election. What happened was that Donald Trump just didn't do as well in places like the suburbs and the cities that he did 4 years ago. That's how you explain it. We could go on. We could do 4 days of programs about that and really not get to the bottom of it. Let's go to Terry in St. Pete. Terry, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that Ron DeSantis is an absolute disgrace and an embarrassment to the state of Florida. That being said, I think that this little coup attempt here is kind of laughable when you look at Rudy Giuliani raving and holding press conferences in a landscape store. And I think the reason Biden isn't going after this more aggressively and more seriously is they don't want to get Bill Barr involved and his Justice Department. That would make things a lot more difficult and complicated. But I do think that once he is elected, Biden is finally installed, there need to be consequences because this is serious. This is an attempt to completely undermine the confidence in our American electoral system. And this cannot be allowed. And a message needs to be sent that none of this will ever be tolerated again.
All right, Terry, thanks a lot. Thank you for that. Good to hear from you. What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. We're getting a mountain of emails, and let me just make a dent in this mountain. I'm going to try to read the ones that were signed, and so let's see if I can read some of these that were signed. Jerome writes, Rudy Giuliani is missing the millions of people who voted for Biden. Do these Trumpers have blinders on? Open your eyes, look at the millions of people who want to impeach President Trump. That's Jerome in Tampa. And then Patrick writes this, it took 60 years less, about 6 weeks, but I now hate America more than I love it. I have broken all the mirrors in my home so I don't have to see myself. I'm embarrassed just by seeing an American. We live in a comic strip, and writes Patrick, and then he adds in, go Bucks. So I think he likes one thing about America. Ron in West Tampa writes, Sidney Powell said in that clip you played that we're going to take America back for people who voted for freedom. So how far back will she take America? To 1930? And what does voting for one candidate versus another have to do with freedom? Hugo Chavez passed away in 2013. Angry, scared people will do anything for their cult leader, Trump. Yeah, if we go back to the 1930s, we erase a lot of freedom for people of color in this country. So we certainly don't want to go back that far. Thank you for that. And James writes this, Biden may not want to prosecute Trump, but for the good of the country, we must have a presidential crime commission. If not, the next GOP president elected will push us into a real dictatorship, writes James. And then Mike in St. Pete writes, I've given up trying to make sense of the insanity of these Trump supporters. There are no limits to the depths of greed and thirst for power they will crawl to. Let these children cry themselves out, writes Mike in St. Pete. Let's go back to the phones. We're going to go to Jill in St. Petersburg. Hi, Jill. You're on M&F. What would you like to comment about?
Well, first, I'd like to comment on the one that the gentleman that said he was ashamed of America. If this election gets overturned, I'm going to be darn sure ashamed because that should not happen. But what I wanted to mention, we talked briefly about the Latino vote here in South Florida. And one of the things one of the propaganda items that came out was that, Joe Biden is a socialist. He's going to make it like Venezuela. And, you know, he appealed to the Venezuelan people that came over here. But the more I think about it, I'm thinking about Maduro, who is the dictator down in Venezuela. They had an election, and a guy named Juan Guaido won the popular vote, and he won the election. And Maduro is the man who would not yield to the vote. He's still down there as a dictator in power. So what I want to say is, aren't these people really watching what's going on? The real Venezuelan-type person is Trump, because he is refusing to yield to the popular vote. He's the one who's acting like a dictator.
Yeah, you know, and Jill, I got to disagree with you. I don't think Juan Guaido won any election in Venezuela. But I do agree with you that if you look at the way strongmen rule around the country, for instance, the current leader in Venezuela, they tend to rule by decree. They don't go through Congress. They say, well, this is what we're going to do. And I think that President Trump is a really good example of ruling by decree. He's said so many things that he's ordered from his seat there in the White House. And some of those things are not good for Americans. And so I do think that President Trump shares a lot of things in common with strongmen. And if you're fled a strongman in South America, you don't want to have a strongman here.
Well, this is what I think the Latinos should start looking at. They should stop listening to the propaganda and looking at the facts.
Okay, Jill.
Then we'll get a better Latino vote next time.
All right, Jill, thanks a lot. Thank you for that. And let's take a call from Matt in Winter Haven. Hi, Matt. You're on MNF. What would you like to say?
Hi. Well, a lot of my Republican friends are despondent these days, and understandably so. Their man lost. But, you know, before, on January 20th, that evening, it's going to be a momentous day. And before you cry yourself to sleep in your own tears and those spilled cans of Natty Light all around you, just remember these words of encouragement that some of my Republican friends told me when Trump won, and that is, he lost. Get over it. Have a nice day.
Okay, thanks a lot. Thanks, Matt. 813-239-9663. Juan writes this regarding the president's dream team. He says, they should be called sore losers and a nightmare team. They're setting our democracy in tears. They have no shame, writes Juan. And let's see who else is writing that. Who's signed their name. Kevin writes this. Rudy Giuliani says he can smell crime, and that's how he knows fraud was committed. Wow, he's a superhero with supernatural powers. The best and brightest star on the dream team, writes Kevin. And then Robin in Bradenton says, our political circus must be great entertainment for the rest of the world right now. Sadly, I'm so embarrassed by it all. As for Rudy, what a joke. Someone should have told him, you can't hide your lying die. Thanks for the great show. That's Robin in Bradenton. Well, you're listening to Radioactivity on WMNF in Tampa, and we're taking phone calls asking you about Rudy Giuliani's claim that President Trump actually won the election. And let's go to Rob in Thanota, Sassa. Rob, you're on MNF.
Hey there, Rob. Great show. Thanks for taking my call. It's getting so serious now, and I feel terrible because of a good friend of mine who's completely drunk the Kool-Aid on this, all these conspiracy theories. And he was getting it with me yesterday, texting me about, he said several things. Oath Keepers say they will not follow any executive orders by Joe Biden. And the Oath Keepers, if I recall, is somewhat of a cultish group, like a far-right Christian group, and who have a lot of people in law enforcement in their ranks. He also said, I will not believe that, you know, Biden did not, that he had more votes than Trump. And I'm like, once you make your mind up, every time I ask him for the evidence, you know, or he says they stopped counting the votes in Wayne County, which I guess is in Georgia, they only counted 75, no explanation. So these things just come fast and furious. And every time I ask him, kind of what you do with callers, ask, well, what's the evidence? Where's the proof, you know? He just sort of veers in another direction, you know? And it's almost impossible. It's really, people are detached. from any kind of critical judgment or any kind of really, you know, consensus reality. I don't know how this happened to so many people. It's really disturbing to me.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that don't need evidence, but all they have to do is watch Lou Dobbs on Fox Business, and they come to a conclusion based on what Lou says. Instead of checking in with 100 different sources, reading the PolitiFact columns. I mean, PolitiFact has a great column out yesterday, fact-checking the false claims about the 2020 election. And they go through all the false claims, and they provide footnotes. And Lou Dobbs doesn't do that. Fox News doesn't provide you footnotes. You can't double-check what any of those Fox News hosts say.
You know, the problem there is once you confront people, and I've tried to do that as well, and then it's all about the mainstream media, and these groups are corrupt, and they're, you know, it's just very circular logic. No matter how methodical you try to be by pointing out that there's no basis for what they believe in, they always, you know, they'll criticize the source or say the source is not legitimate while their sources are legitimate, mainly because they want to believe it, you know. So it's really, if Russia is behind this, they did way more damage to this country than they ever could have done with a nuclear weapon. You know?
All right. Rob, thanks a lot. Thanks for the call.
Yeah.
All right. Good to hear from you. Jeffrey writes this, the lawyer for Trump, the soundbite you played, talked about corruption from the lowest level to the highest level of government, saying that they're corrupt. Lowest level to the highest level of government is corrupt. So your lawyer is admitting that Trump is corrupt, writes Jeff. And then DeMarco writes, the reason we're stuck voting for Biden is that the DNC stole the nomination from Bernie Sanders yet again. After the 2016 election, the DNC went to court arguing that since they were a private corporation, they had no obligation to the U.S. public to run a fair primary. And lo and behold, they did it again. And DeMarco goes on to say that boycott, divestment, and sanctions is a free speech and freedom of choice group. And Israeli apartheid is not, criticizing Israeli apartheid is not anti-Semitic, writes DeMarco. That's DeMarco's opinion. 813-239-9663. George writes, send Robert a package of Kool-Aid. Let's take some more phone calls. We're going to go to, let's go to Jose in Tarpon Springs. Jose, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Oh, not too much. I've been listening to what everybody's saying about Giuliani, and it's, you know, later on when they do a history of Trump, it's going to be a comedy show. It's going to be like a situation comedy where he'll get probably the biggest canned laugh tracks out of the whole thing. The thing about Trump is that he's always claimed to be the best at everything. He's claimed to have the best memory, and yet when they question him on stuff, suddenly he can't remember, and he claims to be the smartest person in the country. He's actually claimed his IQ shot out everybody else's. And yet he can't spell. And I would think that the smartest person in the country would be able to look at Rudy Giuliani and see just how bad he is at this.
Yeah, when you say Giuliani can't spell, you're talking about some of the affidavits.
No, Trump can't spell.
There are legal papers that Giuliani has filed in which the spelling is incorrect, too. I thought you were bringing that up. Okay.
No, but that fits in with his requirements for employment in the Trump administration. Anyway, that's all I had to say.
All right. Thanks
a
lot. All right. Thank you for saying that, Jose. And let's go to our next caller. We're going to go to Jackie in Sarasota. Jackie, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today?
Well, hi, Rob. I'd like to say your callers are about the biggest gaggle of idiots I've ever heard in my life. Daryl from Tampa is a blowhard, and Danny from Tampa is still a pant load.
And Jackie, do you have anything factual that you'd like to say, or are you just going to call names? Oh, okay. That guy is pretty cowardly. He didn't want to. It's easy to call names, isn't it? But it's harder to come up with reasons why you think that. Let's go to Danny, who was just, I think he was attacking you, Danny, so I'm going to give you a chance to defend yourself. What would you like to say?
He's called you the weasel before, so this is the pantload calling the weasel. You know, guys like that, I mean, they have nothing more to say. They lost, and they just can't really, really stomach it. They can't believe it, and you lost, buddy. You know that Bernie Sanders now is entertaining the idea of being in the maybe getting maybe, Secretary of Labor.
Well, he wants to be. I think that's a question. Will President Trump put in a tough labor person who's on the side of working people, or will he kowtow? I think that's one of the big questions.
You mean President Biden?
Oh, that's right. What did I say? Did I say Trump?
Yeah, Trump. I guess he still is, but he won't be one. Yeah. He got whacked in the suburbs, Rob, and that still 55% of white women voted for him?
Well, that's been true. I mean, the Democrats haven't had a majority of white people, men or women, for years.
I know. I heard before this, it would be like higher than that. I think it was in the 70 percentile back in the 50s and stuff.
Yeah,
like
I think that's one of the changes is that Biden did better among white people this time around.
Yes. He did. And like I said, a lot of suburbs that voted for Trump didn't go that way this day. So you know what, Rob? You know, I just can't wait till he leaves officially and. Then we have Joe Biden as president, and hopefully we can win the Senate.
Okay. Danny, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Rob.
Let's go to Russell in Tampa. Hey, Russell, you're on MNF. What would you like to say?
Well, talking about this conspiracy theory, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. That if you were going to rig an election, why wouldn't you do it in a way where you pick up seats in the House and take control in the Senate?
Well, in fairness, the Republicans did pick up seats in the House. They picked up two seats.
No, that's exactly what I'm saying. If you were going to do it, if you were going to have an,
Oh, you're saying that if the Democrats had rigged the election, then they would have picked up the Senate seats and House seats. Yeah, it is odd that they forgot to pick up the House and Senate.
Counting these ballots, did it in a way that just doesn't make sense. Where only the president got thrown.
But we've had a couple of callers who firmly believe that. They firmly believe that this election was thrown, and they must also believe that the Democrats forgot to put in enough votes to win the U.S. Senate, which is really important. Otherwise, you've got gridlock in Washington, D.C.
All that happens is Mitch McConnell becomes the most powerful.
So why do you think that there? We've heard from them today, and we heard Rudy Giuliani. Why do you think there's people that believe that there was a widespread conspiracy?
I have no clue. I mean, I lost any ability to try to figure out this cult. I mean, it's kind of insane. I mean, there's been no policy discussion at all from Trump since he started running in 2015. Really on both sides, policy just doesn't end up being part of our electoral process, which is kind of ridiculous. I don't know if people don't understand policy or if they find it, if we vote for these people, on the most visceral level, it just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I'm still hoping for, I agree with you. I'm still hoping for a debate about healthcare. I want people on both sides of the healthcare debate to debate whether or not single payer works. I want people to debate climate change using science.
Absolutely.
I want to see the networks do this, a real debate between Republicans and Democrats on these issues. But you're right. Both the last two elections have been pretty much devoid of debate on the important issues. Once it got to the general election, I think there was intra-party debate when the Democratic primary happened. But once we got to the general, then there was no debate.
I just have one last comment. I'm a pretty left-leaning person, but I'm getting you alluded to it earlier. I'm getting a little sick of the pathetic weakness of the Democratic Party. I mean, they need to play ball and learn how. I'm a little sick of everything only getting so far, and then they blame the Mitch McConnells, and
Jackie Spears stepped out. I only played a small portion of what she had to say, but she has stepped out. She wants the Democrats to be tougher. All right, Russell, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right. It's great to hear from you. Charles writes this: it would be helpful to limit validating crackpot nonsense, like allowing your caller Robert and his ilk to regurgitate blatant, baseless propaganda, writes Charles, complaining about one of our callers. All right, Charles, thank you for that. 813-239-9663, email address dj@wmnf.org. Amin writes this: yes, I agree the deep state does exist, and they control both the Democratic and Republican parties, and they just give the illusion of choice, writes Amin, and the proof is pure and simple. Both parties bow down to Israel and the military-industrial complex and Wall Street, and I challenge anyone to prove me otherwise, writes Amin. That's Amin's email. What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to John in St. Pete. Hey, John, you're on M&F. What's up?
Hi, Rob. I was talking to friends yesterday about some of this stuff, and the reality of it is the country is definitely divided, and the Republican end of it, which is probably, you know, you're talking 71 million people approximately. Let's assume a quarter of that are right-wing lunatic, you know, should be taken down by FBI or something. But the other three-quarter are people we know and stuff that have completely bought into this and actually have gotten a little extreme themselves. So there is no reasoning with them. This is only going to get worse. And, you know, Biden's going to try to do a good job, and I think he will actually, you know, it'll take a while, but I think he'll actually start doing some of the stuff you were talking about, you know, going across the aisle and stuff. But the people, that's 71 million, they're still going to be there. And I've gotten to the point where I have friends that are really, you know, successful or just good people, you know, not necessarily wealthy. And I have to say, I work with them. I have them in my family, but I flat out just don't respect them anymore. I have to deal with them, but how can you respect any of this if you're a normal human being?
And John, what do you think the end point is? I mean, you know, let's say that they're able to overturn this election, and let's say that they're able to keep President Trump in power for four more years, and let's say they think that every Democrat is the enemy, that there's a widespread deep state that includes all the Democrats, everybody that's in government, that includes anybody that was ever in the CIA or the FBI. What's the end point? Where does that get our country if that's the enemy that they're trying to erase?
The end game, very simply, I think, is to keep the cult going a little further down the road. There can be no other... Somebody made a comment yesterday, one of my friends, and they were like, you know, you see the pickup truck, beautiful pickup truck with the big thing in the back window, you know, one of those that you had to have paid to put on that doesn't come off, Trump things, you know. Who does that? Whoever would do that with like a Bush, you know, a guy who was in favor of Bush or me, favor of Obama, I would never put that where it's a permanent fixture. It's
because you don't want to ruin the truck. You want to be able to sell it to anybody.
Well, I want to vote for somebody else down the road.
Yeah.
I can see a bumper sticker, but it's a cult, Rob. To your question, that's what it's about. It's to push it down the road.
All right. Well, you got dropped. I'm sorry about that, John, but thank you for the call. You know, I think it could be worse than a cult, though. I think, think about the end game. You know, if those early callers were right, and that there is, you know, they think there's a deep state, and these people are enemies, and they're all controlling too. They use their email to plot takeovers of elections and governments. What's the end game for those folks? What would they do with the folks who are part of the deep state? What would they do with the Democrats that control the cities? What's the end game? Let's go to Marcia in Tampa. Hi, Marcia, you're on M&F. What's up?
Yes, hi. I just wanted to say the people that talk about not prosecuting Trump after the fact, I understand that. But my thought is if he were to run in 2024 again and win, then, you know, if we think we've got a dictatorship, you know, leaning now, then I think it would be completely out of control at that point.
Yeah, and we know that President Trump, at least right now, wants to run again in 2024. Marcia, thanks a lot.
Right, thank you.
All right, great to hear from you. Doug writes this from Clearwater. He says, I think there may be a deep state too, but Trump apparently leads it, and he just doesn't hide it, writes Doug in Clearwater. That's his opinion. Well, If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. I'll play your comments back Monday morning at 11 o'clock. Thanks for tuning in to Radioactivity. Cindy Philpott's been our phone producer today. And stay tuned. The news from NPR is coming up. Sarah in Arcadia writes this email. The deep state delusion that's so rampant in our country is so evidential that mental health services are sorely neglected in our country, showing how important universal health care is. That's Sarah's email. Hey, thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. This is WMNF in Tampa. Here's the news. And right after the news, we're going to hear the Tom Hartman Show. Live.